we gather as pilgrims on a journey of faith.
Come seeking awareness of God's presence as we travel on.
We come seeking light for our darkness, strength in our weakness.
Shine in our hearts, O God, with the light of your love. Make your presence known through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Most holy God, your Son came to save sinners. We come to this season of repentance, confessing our unworthiness, asking for new and honest hearts, and the healing power of your forgiveness. Grant us this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Reading from Joel today has two parts. The first two verses are the first part. It talks about judgment to come, disaster that will take place. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. In the preface to the psalm that we shall read responsively, there's a little headline that says, written after Nathan the prophet had confronted David after he had taken Bathsheba. And Nathan had said, "You are the man I'm talking about." And this is supposed to be a psalm of David expressing his repentance, and we join in that tonight. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before you.
Against you, you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Behold, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear with joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Deliver me from death, O God, God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your deliverance.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth sing forth your praise.
For you have no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased.
Thank you.
Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to your God.
God is merciful and gracious, for God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
We know well our misdeeds. Our sin is ever before us. We pray that God will wash away our guilt and cleanse us from our sin. Let us ask God to bring light into the dark places of our lives and to confront us with our hidden and secret sins. Hear us, O God, as we confess our preoccupation with ourselves.
God, open our hearts.
As we confess the bitterness of past losses not turned over to you.
O God, open our hearts.
As we confess the private comforts to which we cling.
O God, open our hearts.
As we confess the fear of failure that keeps us from following your will for us into the future. As we confess our broken relationships.
O God, open our hearts. Here and now, O God, we bring our secret sins to you, as all eyes open in your sight.
Let your forgiveness be our healing power of forgiveness,
brought to us by Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
I will ask you to please stand for the gospel reading from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Hear now God's word. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ash Wednesday reminds us of our mortality and our sin. And these are two things we would much rather ignore. No matter the power or wealth we might gain in a lifetime, there will come a day when we go away. And then another day down the road when we are forgotten among men and women on the earth. It's an unpleasant thought. And also an empowering thought, for if our life is so limited by time, then shouldn't we do what is important every day? And some people deny sin. But sin is something real, and every single one of us have in our own minds what is right and what is wrong. And here's the kicker. We do not even live up to our own standards of right and wrong. We know that we fall short of our own standards, not to mention the standards of a holy God. And so, we sin. And of course, we will die. But why dwell on this? Why dwell on these things in church of all places? Because here in church we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, which gives us hope even beyond sin and death. Only the church can make us face our death and our sin and offer hope all at the same time. Here is where we come to know God's forgiveness, God's acceptance, and where we can publicly repent and recognize the guilt we all share in falling so far short of what God intends for our lives. We are called to examine ourselves during Lent. Be careful about examining other people and making excuses for yourselves. One of my favorite historians of American Christianity, Sidney Mead, once said that American Christians never do anything without a pious justification for it. Lent is the time to examine and take apart our pious justifications for lying, for greed, for arrogance, for lust, for manipulations of others, for prejudices, for hate. You fill in your list. We justify it, the same things we condemn in other people. The imposition of ashes in a few moments takes away our pretense and reminds us from ashes we have come and to ashes we shall return. And then it gives hope as we say, repent and believe the gospel. The first mark that we will make upon your forehead is a vertical line. And you could see that as an eye, a singular, self-detached, doing whatever it wants, an eye without regard to God or neighbor. But then we make another mark, a horizontal mark, which crosses out the sinful self and makes a cross, reminding us that there is hope. Repent and believe the gospel. Self-examination and prayer have another symbol here tonight, and it's an unexpected symbol for some of you, a pretzel. There will be pretzels over here and over here. They're not for eating. The pretzel is a traditional symbol for Lenten prayer. In Lent, Christians centuries ago made unleavened bread, and they shaped the dough in the form of two crossed arms. And two crossed arms was traditionally the attitude or the posture of prayer. The bread was called little arms, or bracella, later bretzel, and today we call pretzel. The shape of the pretzel is two little arms crossed in unleavened bread in the attitude or the symbol of prayer. Apparently, it was a very ancient practice, for there is a picture of a pretzel and used in this manner in a 5th century document. So it's a very ancient practice, and I do hope that your pretzel lasts the full 40 days. Don't eat it. Display it, and let it remind you to pray more often. I did this in one former church, and a lady said, "We cannot have any religious symbols in our office place," but she smiled, "but I have my pretzel hanging there, and no one suspects." And just briefly, we have a few younger folks here. There's an expression that I did not grow up with, so it's new to me. It's an expression, "my bad." Anybody know that expression? "My bad." You know that? "My bad" is a fairly new expression, but it is exactly what the church has always said we are to say when we are truly entering into a relationship of repentance with God. In Latin, mea culpa. I am guilty. I messed up. That's my fault. I take responsibility for that. I'll try to do better. Forgive me. I know it was wrong. Mea culpa. I think that's what the young kids mean when they say, "my bad." Well, maybe they don't mean all of that, but I think it's pretty close. Mea culpa. I am culpable. I ask your forgiveness. Psalm 51, we read responsively just a few moments ago, is one long "my bad." And as we approach this time of repentance and a time of self-examination, I want to invite each one of you to take just a moment right now, just a moment to bow your head and begin your own private, silent prayer of repentance. Be specific, be honest. What can you tell God that God doesn't already know? Be specific, be honest. Then seek God's forgiveness and help moving from "my bad" to "my good," to becoming more the person God wants you to be. And God's answer to your mea culpa, your "my bad," might be that you and I both need to go to someone else and say it as well. A few moments of silence. Let us begin a time of Lenten self-examination. Amen. For those of you who have not taken part in an Ash Wednesday service before, we will invite first the choir to come down to either kneel or stand. If you wish to just come pray, then you can cross your arms and you'll receive no ashes. If you wish to have the mark on your forehead, kneel or indicate, and we will give you the mark of the cross on your forehead in ash. Or if you wish to have it on your hand, just extend your hand. If you want simply a prayer time, you could also just shake your head no, and we will let you pray. Now, CJ, I'll invite you down.
Gracious gift.
As you leave here, as a sort of extended benediction, benediction meaning just a good word, let me give you this good word, something to take forward. Of course, we know that you cannot out-sin God's grace, but Lent is a time when we can focus and understand that we can use that grace for more than just forgiveness. We can use that grace to become more loving, more holy, more like Jesus, in whose name we have hope. We have been blessed. Let us be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name.